Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Okay, so reading from Srimad Bhagavatam. Canto 9, chapter 23. Do we read the summary? Okay. So I'll just read the translations of the verses before this. So text 1 till text 21. Shukadev Goswami said, Anu, the fourth son of Yayati, had three sons named Sabhanara, Chakshu and Paraneshnu. Paraneshnu. O king, from Sabhanara came a son named Kalanara, and from Kalanara came a son named Srinjaya. From Srinjaya came a son named Janamejaya. From Janamejaya came Mahashala. From Mahashala, Mahamana. And from Mahamana, two sons named Ushinara and Titikshu. The four sons of Ushinara were Shibi, Vara, Krimi, and Daksha, and from Shibi again came four sons named Vrishadarbha, Sudhira, Madra, and Atmatapavit, Kekaya. The son of Titikshu was Rushadratha. From Rushadratha came Homa, from Homa Sutapa, and from Sutapa Bali. By the semen of Dirghatma, in the wife of Bali, the emperor of the world, six sons to birth, namely Anga, Vanga, Kalinga, Suhma, Hunda, and Odra. These six sons, headed by Anga, later became kings of six states in the eastern side of India. These states were known according to the names of their respective kings. From Anga came a son named Kalapana. From Kalapana came Divyatha. From Divyaratha came a son named Dharmaratha, and his son was Chitraratha, who was celebrated as Ramapada. Ramapada, however, was without issue, and therefore his friend Maharaj Dasharatha gave him his own daughter named Shanta. Ramapada accepted her as his daughter, and thereafter she married Rishi Shringa. When the demigods from the heavenly planets failed to shower rain, Rishi Shringa was appointed the priest for performing the sacrifice after being brought from the forest by the element of prostitutes who danced, staged theatrical performances accompanied by music, and embraced and worshipped him. After Rishi Shringa came, the rain fell. Thereafter, Rishi Shringa performed a sun-giving sacrifice on behalf of Maharaj Dasharatha,
who had no issue, and then Maharaj Dasharatha had sons. From Ramapada, by the mercy of Rishi Sringa, Chaturanga was born, and from Chaturanga came Prithulaksha. The sons of Prithulaksha were Brihadratha, Brihadkarma, and Brihadbhanu. From the eldest, Brihadratha, came a son named Brihanmana, and from Brihanmana came a son named Jayadratha. The son of Jayadratha, by the womb of his wife Sambhuti, was Vijaya, and from Vijaya Driti was born. From Driti came Dhritavrata, and from Dhritavrata Satkarma, and from Satkarma Adirata. While playing on the banks of the Ganges, Adirata found the baby wrapped up in a basket. The baby had been left by Kunti because he was born before she was married. Because Adirata had no sons, he raised his baby as his own. This son was later known as Karna. O King, the only son of Karna was Vrishasena. Druhyu, the third son of Ayati, had a son named Babhru, and the son of Babhru was known as Setu. The son of Setu was Arabdha. Arabdha's son was Gandhara, and Gandhara's son was Dharma. Dharma's son was Drita. Drita's son was Drumada, and Drumada's son was Pracheta, who had 100 sons. The Prachetas, the sons of Pracheta, occupied the northern side of India, which was devoid of Vedic civilization, and became kings there. Yayati's second son was Turvasu. The son of Turvasu was Vahni. The son of Vahni, Bharga. The son of Bharga, Bhanuman. The son of Bhanuman was Tribhanu, and his son was the magnanimous Karandhama. Karandhama's son was Maruta, who had no sons, and who therefore adopted a son of the Puru dynasty, Maharaj Dushmanta, as his own. Maharaj Dushmanta, desiring to occupy the throne, returned to his original dynasty, the Puru dynasty, even though he had accepted Maruta as his father. O Maharaj Parikshit, let me now describe the dynasty of Yadu, the eldest son of Maharaj Yayati. This description is supremely pious, and it vanquishes the reactions of sinful activities in human society. Simply by hearing his description, one is freed from all sinful reactions. So, now we read verse 21. Chatvaraha Sunavas Tatra Shatajit Prathamat Majaha Mahabahyo Renuhayo Hai Hayash Cheti Tatsutaha Chatvarak Sunavastatra Shatajit Prathamat Majanaha Mahahayo Renuhayo Hai Hayash Chetitat Sutaha Chatvaraksu Navastatra Shatajit Prathamat Majaha Mahabahyo Renuhayo Hai Hayash Chetitat Sutaha Chatvaraksu Navastatra Shatajit Prathamat Majaha Mahayo Renuhayo Hai Hayas Chetitat Sutaha. Matajis? Chatvaraha, four. Sunavaha, sons. Tatra, therein. Shatajit, Shatajit. Prathama Atmajaha, of the first sons. Mahahayaha, Mahahaya. Renuhayaha, Renuhaya. Hai Hayaha, Hai Haya. Cha, and. Iti, das. Tatsutaha, his sons, the sons of Shatajit. Translation and purport, Bhāṣyala Prabhupāda. What is that? It's quite loud. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, the Supersoul in the hearts of all living entities, descended in his original form as a human being in the dynasty of family of Yadu. Yadu had four sons, named Sahasrajit, Kroshta, Nala, and Ripu. Of these four, the eldest, Satrajit, had a son named Shatrajit, and who had three sons named Mahahaya, Renuhaya, and Haihaya. Purport. As confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam 1-11, Vedanti Tattvavidas, Tattvam Yat Jnanam Advayam, Brahmeti Paramatmeti, Bhagavan Iti Shabdyate. Learned transcendentalists who know the absolute truth call this non-dual substance Brahman, Paramatma or Bhagavan. The majority of transcendentalists understand only the impersonal Brahman or localized Paramatma, for the personality of Godhead is very difficult to understand. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 7.3, Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschit yatati siddhaye yatatam api siddhanam kaschin mam veti tattvataha. Out of many thousands among men, one may enter for perfection. And of those who have achieved perfection, hardly one knows me in truth. The yogis and jnanis, that is, the mystic yogis and the impersonalists, can understand the absolute truth as impersonal or localized, but although such realized souls are above ordinary human beings, they cannot understand how the Supreme Absolute Truth can be a person. Therefore, it is said that out of many siddhas, the souls who have already realized the Absolute Truth, one may understand Krishna, who exactly resembles a human being, Narakriti. This human form was explained by Krishna himself after he manifested the Viradrupa. The Viradrupa is not the original form of the Lord. The Lord's original form is Dvibhuja Shyama Sundara, Murli Dhara. The Lord who, with two hands, playing a flute, Yam Shyama Sundaram Achintya Gunasvarupam. The Lord's forms are proof of his inconceivable qualities. Although the Lord maintains innumerable universes within the period of his breath, he is dressed with a form exactly like that of a human being. That does not mean, however, that he is a human being. This is his original form. But because he looks like a human being, those with a poor fund of knowledge consider him an ordinary man. The Lord says, Avagyanantit mamudha manushi anum ashritam param bhavam ajananto mama bhuta maheshwaram. Fools deride me when I descend in the human form. They do not know my transcendental nature and my supreme domination over all that be. Bhagavad Gita 9.11. By the Lord's param bhavam or transcendental nature, he is the all-pervading Paramatma living in the core of all hearts of all living entities, yet he looks like a human being. Mayavada philosophy says that the Lord is originally impersonal but assumes a human form and many other forms when he descends. Actually, however, he is originally like a human being, and the impersonal Brahman consists of the rays of his body. Yasa prabha prabhavato jagat andakoti. Hare Krishna. So many points in Srila Prabhupada is describing the fact that only devotees are able to fully understand the Lord. The Lord as Bhagavan, which is the original form. Then that is to be understood. Then one can actually strive to figure out what do I need to do to actually become a devotee to understand what to do. The devotional service is described. Everything is very clear. But the the false ego, sometimes it's very difficult to overcome, to accept that yes, there is Bhagavan and there is the Lord, and I am here to perform certain activities, not necessarily what I want, but activities regulated as given by the Lord. That's sometimes very difficult, because why do we come here? We come here not necessarily to serve, but we come here to enjoy. And now I'm supposed to be a servant? No, that's difficult. So then, as Srila Prabhupada describes, there are transcendentalists. We have the Mayavadis, right? We have the yogis. So they are now in some way considered among the transcendentalists, because they at least recognize the feature of the Lord as a Brahman or Paramatma. But that's not it. Then obviously the Mayavadis, they are completely bewildered. They don't know what is the truth. The yogis, they are considered as actually the most unfortunate. The yogis, they use Paramatma to meditate on. And when they achieve the perfection, which are the siddhis, then they drop Paramatma. They don't need Paramatma anymore. So they were very close, yet they are very far. Unlike, say, Kardama Muni. He was a yogi, but he looked for opportunity to serve. So through Paramatma, then the Lord instructed him how to perform devotional service. And that's it. So it is possible, if we want to do so. Devotional service, easy, if we accept it as it is. But then the real problem starts. Right? Okay, I want that, but also I would like to enjoy. Well, natural, no. So, then, this is very difficult. Because as much as we become sincere, that much, then we can realize the truth. Tadvidi pranipatena pariprasna sevaya upadikshanti jnanam jnanastatu darshana. So with sincerity we surrender, we inquire, and we follow what we get as an answer. We follow the process. Then okay. Then we will come to know what the tattva darsh is, the absolute truth. We will come to know. But if we consider, I ask, I surrender somewhat, pranipashna, but then I'm asked to do something and I don't like it. Okay, so I don't need to do that. I pick and choose what I want to do. And what kind of devotion is this? We have four classes of servants, right? The first class is who performs the service without being asked to. He understands, he is one with the consciousness. Second class is the one who, when he is asked, he perfectly does it immediately. Third class is that when he is asked to do, he will do at his own free will. I was asked to do something, to sweep, but okay, I want to sleep now, then I want to eat, and after that, okay, if it's not too hot, then I'll do. It gets done, but we don't know when. And fourth class, get lost. I don't want to do it.
So, and we should aspire at least to be the second class, at least. And then when we do that, then to understand the consciousness, or to understand, to tune into the mood, it's easy, or easier. And then one can become the first class servant. So, we don't want that. We say we want, but it's not easy, it's difficult. So, okay, then I'll do this, but at the same time I want to do that. So as long as at least we perform, no, Sakama Bhakti. That, okay, I'll do this because I like doing this. But at least the results we have to give up. Offer that to the Lord. I like cooking this because I like it. I don't like to cook anything else. Okay, fine. Cook what you like, but then before you thinking about eating it, offer it to the Lord. Then it's bhakti. That's good. And from that, then we can take it to the, you know, farther steps. But no, then there's another problem. The problem is, who are you to tell me what I'm supposed to do? No? Because the pranipata may not be very, you know, pronounced, very, very serious. So how? So that's a problem. But sometimes we feel, I want to get over my problem. But no, what do I do? And then association with devotees. That's the remedy. Sadhu Sangha. But then in the association of devotees, oh yeah, he's like this, he's like that. No, I'm the best, so now who we want to associate with? Everybody is now below my rank. It's difficult. Then we make offenses. Now the problem. So if we look into it, then so many problems. And then, okay, now I want to be special. I want recognition. I want that I am, no, somebody. And if I cannot be, no, somebody, no, good, at least, okay, let me be somebody bad. I see it on the boys, sometimes they are like that. That kids, they ask for attention. And they are trying to do their best. But sometimes, no, no, little kid, no, the best, according, you know, in adults' eyes, kind of, it's not good enough. So he doesn't get attention. But then he sees that somebody who does something bad immediately gets attention. Hey, what are you doing? It's a different kind of attention, nonetheless attention. So sometimes the kids of the spirit for attention, that they will just turn to be bad just to get the attention. That's the nature. So that's a problem. And we have to learn how to deal with it. So kids, they may not be aware of it, but the adults, the parents, the teachers, gurus, they should be aware of it. They should know what to do. So now when the kid doesn't get the attention, or being adult or whoever, devotee or no, not a devotee, it doesn't matter. Everybody wants something. So if it's not happening on the spiritual platform, it's going to be happening on the material platform. Bodily platform. Ahamamati. Right? Then now we see the economy of the world is prospering, right? It's booming, it's the best. No, you want to be somebody, then you have to have certain dress.
And that must be latest fashion. If you don't have latest fashion, it's a problem. Everybody just will think that you are a schmuck. No, you have to have. And with that, of course, then all the latest hat, watch, right? You have to have car. No, and not any car. You have to have proper car. And the best also if you have cars matching the colors according to your dress. So then have few. No. Then you are going to be recognized as somebody. But then 6 months later the fashion changes. There's a new car, there is a new dress. You have to have that, otherwise you are old, you're not some prehistoric. And then we go for it. We completely get enamored by it. It's a problem. So we are being dictated what we should do. And you see, it's not only among the non-devotees. It happens sometimes among the devotees. The necessity. But it can be utilized. The nature may be there, but we have to recognize how we need to deal with it. No, sometimes, okay, person wants to be the best, right? Or do something special nobody did. Yeah, I heard about that there was one, young boys especially, they do so many stupid things. There was one boy, teenager, he wanted to show in front of his friends, and like when you go into a subway, then there are the escalators, the steps. So, and in some are very long. So then he wanted to show off, and that he said that he will drive on a bicycle off the staircase, off the escalators. So, it was going good. He was feeling he is the king of the world. Nobody did. No. So, I'm going to be winner. So, he was doing, and he was doing fast because, if somebody wants to repeat it after me, they should not be faster than me. So, yeah, and with the camera and everything. And then he comes down and, he didn't slow down. So as he came down, then actually, it's quite a steep step like that. So then the back wheel kicked off, the last step, he turned over and the speed, he broke his neck. Then, did he want that? I don't think so. One doesn't think, I want to be the best, right? I want to show I can do that. Then I will be recognized. But many times, all these things, the foolish things, they end up in people losing their lives. But for a moment, I was the top. But they are not the ones not to enjoy that moment. It's very unfortunate. Then, sometimes people feel, if I take drugs, then I will feel that moment. I will feel free. But it's an illusion. It doesn't exist. We only get more and more entangled in the material consciousness. Or, it can be anything. Hairstyle. Sometimes I saw somebody like shaving really very like short and writing in the hair. I heard it's very expensive. No. But, I want to show I'm somebody special, somebody different. And if somebody has that, then I don't want something different. No. So all these things, they put us more and more in the material consciousness. And that's a problem. Because this problem is going to keep us here and make it more difficult for us to come out of the material and embrace the spiritual. For example, now we see that children in the world, worldwide, they are not very well taken care of the education. It's a very secular education, and they may be materialistically very qualified, but they have no idea about God. But what to speak of God? They don't have any idea even about the reality of the material world. When they ask kids somewhere in Australia, no, it's in America, to describe a cow, no. So cow is pink. Why is cow pink? Because they know the picture from the Milka chocolate, but the cow is pink. That's all. When they saw running some bull escape from the slaughterhouse, was in the street, they thought it's some wild beast out of horror movie. They did not know that it was a bull. These are all very unfortunate things. So, education is very important. And, you see, in our society, how much effort do we put into education? How many children of devotees are actually serious devotees? It doesn't automatically happen just because devotees have children, then the children become devotees. We have to put a lot of effort, a lot of thought, thinking about which association they will choose, what will they do, which school they will go to, what will I train them in, how? Because if we don't train the children properly, then they will develop bad habits. Once they develop bad habits, then what's going to happen? We'll fix it later on? It's not possible. That's why Gurukula education is so important, and that's why Srila Prabhupada stressed so much on it. Because in that kind of educational system, in that kind of environment, then they can develop the proper values, and then later on they can choose. But if they don't have the proper values, then it is going to be very difficult for them later on to overcome the samskaras. So we should give good samskaras to the kids and not necessarily the bad ones. Samskara is something which is impression, and which is the impression, then later on it's very difficult to undo. So in the temples, there's effort making new devotees. And let's get the devotees from IIT all these, they are very qualified, so they'll be good. But they also come with their own baggage, their own samskaras. Ideally, we have to focus on our children. Give them the proper samskaras. Train them. Train those from the very beginning. Not to expose them, until you are adult, then do whatever you want, and when you are adult, I'll take care of you. That doesn't work. We have to put the effort from before the time of birth, during the Garbharana samskara. the effort must be put into. Then we can talk about that we had done something for the kids, and we can hope that the proper progeny will be born. With the proper progeny, then the qualities which we are looking for, the Shastra describes as the qualities of a devotee, then we can be now seeing how they manifest deeper and deeper. But we have to protect the children from the very beginning until they are adults, until they're minimum 16 years of age. Until then, they are under our protection, being the parents, being the teachers, and then we have to. And seeing good qualities in the kids, you encourage them to develop those qualities. Seeing bad qualities in the kids, because they do have, then you train them, you discourage them from those. You teach them how to overcome those. And that's easy when they are small. But when they become old, already with habits, not easy at all. And then what happens? Then we have a problem, another one. I did try my best with the kid, but look at him now. How can we say that? How do we know we did our best for the kid? It's not an easy question. Right? Sometimes, yes, like Maharaj Anga, I'm sure he did his best for Vena. But it didn't turn out good. But he had enough dignity to then, okay, renounce everything, no, and then disappear to the forest and then practice devotional service then. It's not easy. So, the fact is that we have to be, as a parents or teachers or leaders, then be able to say, I did my best for the young generation, for the kids. Okay, I didn't know that time that I could have done this, but I did my best, nonetheless. That's counted. That's good. But, oh, I don't want to deal with it. That's not my best. And then what can happen, the kid comes to me, I don't like you. I hate you. You don't take care of me. When parents hear this, that can be a total disaster. I mean, it is. Thinking that, oh, I was taking care of my kid very nicely, but he tells me he doesn't like me. It's his fault, right? No. Did we do our best? Did we try our best to protect? As Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada, and he talks in his essay, Patsasura, about protecting children's innocence. That's what we need to do. But if we don't, and we let them exposed to the outside world, they will definitely lose their innocence. And once innocence is lost, it cannot be regained. That's a fact. So we have to deal with it properly. We need to take the responsibility onto our hands. There was one Mataji during Srila Prabhupada's time, head pujari in some temple. She had a kid, a boy. So as soon as she was able, so then she immediately went back onto the altar and then doing her service, dedicated to Srila Prabhupada. When Srila Prabhupada came to know that, he immediately wrote the letter. You have a kid. You have to take care of the kid. If need to, then don't do your service right now. Your service is your kid. So instead of deity worship, do the child worship. That's what he said. And when he is, no, 4 or 5 year old, I'll take him to Gurukul. Then you can continue with your services. Until then, you are responsible. It's also, it's quite heavy to understand that properly. Oh no, I cannot do that. Then don't have kids. We should be very, you know, careful. As Chanakya Pandit says, no, don't become a father, a teacher, a guru, or a king if you cannot take, if you cannot, you know, bring or elevate the consciousness of your dependents. So we have to be responsible. And sometimes, yes, okay, we may make a mistake. Right? Sometimes not. We came to Krishna consciousness later and then now we realize, oh, what did I do? I didn't know. I was not trained. And no, I didn't train my children properly. Alright? Then, one has to accept it. See what's the best thing we can do for the child. And yourself, no, you cannot fix it. You become devoted. You practice devotional service. Then, that's the best way how we can deal with the situation. Inspire. But if a kid becomes an adult and he is not interested, he is not into anything, he doesn't want to, you know, be a devotee, it's his choice he made. Of course, you know, we may feel guilty because we contributed to it, but nonetheless, there's nothing much at the time we can do. So at least we can follow the process that we become devotees, we become very serious, very sincere, and inspire, give good example to now a man or woman. And hopefully they will take the example, seeing it, and that way then we can help them still. But anything else, trying to help materially, it will not work. So, like that, we are living with so many problems. Every day there is a problem. But, if we are trying to solve our problems, no, materially, we cannot ever find a solution. Of course, there may be a solution, temporary solution for a problem. Material solution. But then later on, it will be not sufficient. It's like in Delhi, right? They started selling a lot of cars. People become rich, they buy cars. Now, the roads are not enough. So, start building flyovers. So, okay, at that moment, is a solution. But after some time, more cars, that's not enough. So do, I don't know what, above the flyover, or not, do whatever you want. I heard that there was in Delhi, there was a traffic jam, which lasted for 18 hours. So, imagine somebody sitting 18 hours in the car on the same spot. Maybe they moved a meter or two here and there. 18 hours. Okay, so we will solve the problem. Build a flyover. It's a solution, but temporary one. But we cannot stop or limit selling the cars. Why? Because we get money from it. So we cannot do that. Like, there were two boys, and it was in US, and they were playing some like computer games, but they were so much into it that actually it was some shooting game. Not the best ones, right? Then, and their psychology, something got messed up a little bit. They just got, you know, bewildered with the reality and the game. So once they were just going and they were going to get the gun. So both of them, young boys, so then they approached a policeman. And one was just make the policeman busy and other one just pulled a gun from the policeman and shot him. Because that's in the game. And now I heard that there was a discussion on like a big level, what to do. Now the shooting game, they are very violent and they increase the violence. We should do something about it. But we cannot restrict them because it's democracy. That's one thing. And second, it will from the sales of the game, from the tax, we get a lot of money. Okay. So, but we need to do something about it. All right. So, we will restrict games then in which the policemen are shot. Anybody else can be shot, but no policeman. Solution? Is it? No. So now no violence, in U.S. It's a problem. And what's the solution? There's only one solution to it. As the Bhagavatam is the answer to all the questions. And what are the questions about? My problems. So the Bhagavatam actually is the only solution to all the problems. So we should study Bhagavatam. We should always approach, we should always see, through Bhagavatam, how do I solve my problem? Oh, but no, Bhagavatam doesn't have everything. No. Who said so? Only one who doesn't read Bhagavatam. Even the biggest problem of the humanity, right? Conditioned jivas, sex, is so perfectly described in the solution to it in Bhagavatam. Read Puranjana. And you will get absolute answer to what one needs to do to get over with it last. Everything is there. So now we need to just take it as it is. Guru, Sadhu, Shastra. And Sadhu Sangha, chanting of the holy name, nothing else is missing. And then we find out that even though we may still remain with our material problems, but these problems will not be such a big problem. They will be there. But we find out that they are solved. It's summer, it's going to be hot. In winter, it's going to be cold. But if we figure out Matras Parshastu Konte Asito Shastu Kadukada, it's going to be there. Agama Painotyas Tamti Shasabharata. Right? There's a solution. Tolerate. Fine. It will work out. The heat will go. Storm comes, right? Fine. Okay, it cools down. Sometimes too much. But, okay, the calamity comes. But still, that does not mean that we stop devotional service. Unfortunately, many times it does mean that. Oh, I'm in distress. I'm feeling depressed. I cannot chant. So what's your solution for your depression? Oh, I take pills. No. I drink some alcohol. I take some drugs and then I feel not depressed. So foolish. So we have to embrace the proper solution. And then we can preach about the solution to others, we can teach that, and we can ensure that the society will be in its best. That everybody will be properly practicing devotional service, no, with full consciousness, and then the golden age of Kali Yuga, no, can properly manifest. The chanting of the holy name will be in every town and village. It doesn't matter whenever I want to contribute to it or not. It will happen. But the question is whether you are going to be part of it or not. You choose. You don't have to. But that means we all have to become very sincere, very serious. Then preaching will not be difficult, because people will be inspired. Purity is the force. So, and then seeing the manifestation, seeing the Lord's features, Bhagavan, then it will not be difficult. That's what we need to work on. Let's work on ourselves. Let's help our children. And then, from that, then we can only look forward to very Krishna conscious future. Hare Krishna. Yes, we have maybe a few questions. Yes.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Maharaj. Very enlivening class. I had a specific case which I wanted to present to you and check with you what solution you would suggest. It's of an adult who has a habit of bad-mouthing on the back and sweet-talking on the face. Sweet-talking on the face, okay, and bad-mouthing on the back. When asked about this, he flatly denies. But then over a period of time, it is revealed from various sources that he's doing it. And then when he's asked about it, he says that, I'm doing it helplessly. My conditionings are too strong. I'm not able to give up this habit. Like he admits. Now, then some kind of, treatment has to be done for him to rise up out of this habit. But he feels that, I can't take the spiritual treatment of Bhagavatam, hearing classes, because he is so spoiled that he doesn't want to hear and grow. So he wants freedom to be destroyed. He says, give me complete freedom.
Thick layer that one just is conditioned in every situation. In fact, now sometimes the person, like you said, that he may be bad mouths others, but he denies. He may not even be denying it. He may be unaware of it. Sometimes the ignorance is so bad that he's not speaking the lie. He actually doesn't know that he's doing it. So this problem has to be worked on from within. Cheta Darpana Marjanam. There is no other way. Now, how you do it, you may have to take care of that person, give him special attention, prasad, and if he is unable to hear or read Bhagavatam, unable to accept authority, then just expose him to hearing Maha Mantra. Something which benefits him, and he has to work out to the point that he decides, okay, I want it. As long as he doesn't want it, it's all security. The power, even of the holy name, it's very minimal. It's there, but it's minimal. So somehow or other, you have to find a way how to convince him that, okay, I want it. That also means maybe, you know, inspire him by some activities which he likes to do. And may not be directly spiritual activities. Maybe, you know, he likes to, you know, distribute prasad. So he does it, okay, I like to give food. Or, you know, I like to, you know, do something, you know, maybe more rajasic. Find a way how he can perform that, what he likes, but you find a connection, even though maybe he is unaware of it, but the connection to how he does it as a devotional service. Even if he does it unaware, still it's already higher level. He actually directly works for it. So engage his nature, engage his senses, not working senses, no, all the senses in that as much as possible. And when he becomes purified, then he starts seeing devotees, how they act. Oh, he starts to see what bad he does. But he sees how others are treating him nicely. He becomes ashamed. Then he becomes very humble. Jagai Madai. Now, what did they do? They were rascals. They hurt Nityananda Prabhu. But when they, first they got the fear from the Sudarshan Chakra, and then second, they saw the mercy of Nityananda. Immediately their heart got purified, melted. That's the only hope for the person. He has to see that people care. And when you can do that and connect it to, you know, with the spiritual life, that's the best gift you can give. So we come with a lot of anarthas. With association, we get more anarthas. Everybody has problems. But when somebody is free or not nearly free of the problems, then we should see how we care about the people. That's why, you know, like in the temples, when the new bhaktas come, then the first thing should be to actually develop the proper relationship, like a human relationship, you can say, that we care about you. Not when you distribute books, we care, but if we stop distributing, we don't care. Some temples, they have it like that. Sometimes the brahmacharis, they work for years. They give, you know, their best years, you know, to the temple. And then they decide to get married. But because the temple has no provision for, you know, some small temple or, you know, like that. Okay, so you go, but you are on your own. I don't want to see you. What message does it give, you know? Oh, I didn't study. I stopped my study. I went to the temple. I gave my best years and now they don't know me. I will not come again to this temple. I don't like that temple. I don't like the present. I don't like this. And others, what will they, what message they will take? Oh, he is mistreated. No, I don't want to be here. I'll leave. So we have to be very careful. So when you capture the person, not through that, just the human relationships. He most likely came to the temple because he didn't have that. So when he sees that he gets that, he will get very attached. Same like Balam rising ghee. That's what it is. So you capture the person and you treat him properly, then you can train him properly. But you have to do it immediately. When the, you know, new bhaktas, they come, there is a very small window when you can do that before they become the big boss, and I don't need to listen to anyone, as nobody else does anyway. No. Now I'm big boss, now I'm telling the new bhaktas then what to do. No? And who are you to tell me what I'm supposed to do? And it may happen, but if the relationship is developed, still, oh, I don't respect anybody, but I respect you. So whatever you tell me to do, I will do. Okay, so you respect everyone. Okay, I do. and you have that. So that's the solution. Now, what is the nature of the person? And based on that, then he has to be engaged. Srila Prabhupada was doing that. We have to do that. So, if he is very passionate, you don't necessarily sit him down with Bhagavatam and, okay, read Bhagavatam. He won't be able to do that. So, you have to use your intelligence to engage him properly. See, in my observation, when not dealing with the boys, out of 20 boys, 19 gets married. One out of 20 remains brahmachari. That's 5%. That's the ratio. Now, when the brahmacharis come into the temple, then we expect all of you will remain brahmacharis. Right? And if you want to get married, it's maya. Right? But it's inside. Most of them have it inside. Few can deal with it. Many, it's bubbling. It's there. But, if I change into white, then it will be very embarrassing. No, I cannot do that. And they can remain 30s, 40s. And then I cannot do it anymore. And then you go for marriage. It's insane. So, we should help to recognize which ashram is best for him in a young age. And through the young age, always support him. You want to be brahmachari? Okay, fine, you can distribute books, you can do this, preach, fine. Okay, you want to be a grihastha? Fine, be a grihastha. There is a community outside. No, like you have, no? No, they will engage you. It's fine. You are still part of the temple. Still we give you the affection. That's why they can grow. And they don't have to be afraid that if I change into Y, then I will be embarrassed. No. So, that way, everything has to be properly taken care of. And then, the person will not really feel that something is wrong. He will feel I'm being taken care of. No. Bhatanagar, right? There are so many cities where Bhata shoes are being made. And now he was an industrialist and he started it. But whenever he starts his factory, he builds apartments for the laborers, for everyone. He builds entertainment centers, cinemas, and so many things. He builds shopping centers. He builds schools. He builds his hospitals. So, what do the laborers do? What do you think that they feel towards the capitalist, industrialist? They love him because he takes care of his basic needs. No? So, it's a material. But that's what kshatriyas should do. Give protection. And they should lead them to spiritual life, which he didn't do. I agree. But in our society, then we should forget about all the material needs and only do the spiritual. Fine, yes, that's Bhagavad Mark. How many can follow Bhagavad Mark? Few. Srila Prabhupada, Pancharatri. Get into properly the activities. Engage your nature accordingly in devotional service. That's the important thing. If we do that, then devotees will progress. they will progress. And yes, then the Bhagavad Mark will be the end, at the end of their lives. They will be fully realized. Hare Krishna, I think we're a little over. I'll end the class. If you come, we can talk. Granta Rashimad Bhagavatam ki, Chakrapat ki, Jayanitai Gaur Premanande.